You know, I want to say thanks again to our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, for bringing you this show. They just like to find physical therapists' jobs. So where do you want to go? So how about this? Sign up at ptpinecast.com, and Arias is going to hook you up with a $500 gift card to Southwest Airlines. Where do you want to fly? That's because Arias can get you a job anywhere in the U.S. So hit ptpinecast.com and then decide where you want to go when you win. All from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Had a great time at Stony Brook University on Long Island talking to some faculty with students in attendance on the PT Pinecast College Tour. If you want PT Pinecast to do a show at your school, well, visit our website, ptpintcast.com. There's just too much to put into one episode, so we're breaking this one up into multiple parts. Cheers.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
All right, back on PT Pinecast Live, Stony Brook University on Strong Island. Our next guest is a PT professor and researcher focusing on recovery after spinal cord injury. Her graduate and postdoctoral work focused on biomechanics, motor control, and activity monitoring with body-worn sensors. That sounds techie right there. Up next on PT Pinecast, welcome Sue Ann Sisto. Sue, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming out.
Having me.
You literally wrote a book on spinal cord injury rehabilitation.
I did.
Like, so if someone's ever like, well, she wrote the book on it, like, that's got to be good and bad, because it means you can't mess anything up, right? Because you're like, well, she wrote the book on it.
She wrote the book. I wrote a book in spinal cord injury rehabilitation, and it took me 5 years to write this book. And it's ready for the next edition, so, you know, that's my next task.
Briefly, because it took you 5 years.
Yeah.
What's it like actually writing a book on something as important, difficult, hard to translate as spinal cord injury research? What's that like?
It's a lot of work. I had to do it mostly after work because my job was so busy. So I did it all after work, and I had to find experts around the country, around the world, who would write specific chapters related to spinal cord injury rehabilitation. And so it meant recruiting those individuals, getting their chapters written, and it was like herding cats sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get these chapters written. And then I had to edit the chapters, and then we had to get photographs, and then we did a video. You would love this,
yeah.
Right? You're a live person.
Love it.
A lot of video. And so our next edition is going to be a lot of live video, so easier to learn.
Easier to learn, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Live videos. So we're going to have a lot of experiential.
So when's the next edition coming out? And give everybody the title and where they can get it.
In the next 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
So it takes a while to assemble all of this information.
Yeah.
As you can see with your technology.
Yeah. It does. Rewarding experience? I mean, you're doing it again, so that's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah, rewarding experience, especially when I go to conferences like the APTA, where students will say to me, I have your book. Or a professor will say, we use your book in my class.
That's cool.
That's really rewarding.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, like, I secretly started this podcast so I could just, instead of reading a book, which takes so long, I just call the author. I go, you mind if we just talk for 15 minutes? And then they're like, these questions are oddly specific. I'm like, oh, I have a test. Can you answer number 7? But
we have test questions in the end, so we'll see if
even better.
Pass.
See, and then you've got to make sure it's all right.
Right, and you have editors helping you from the publisher that review things to make sure there's no mistakes, and still, there are.
Yeah,
nothing's perfect.
Yeah, you. Well, in your intro, we mentioned and you mentioned my tech, but you did some cool tech stuff, body worn sensors and research. Tell us about that. What is that?
So I am very interested in body-worn sensors, robotics, any kind of technology that could enhance physical therapy intervention. So it started out with just a small accelerometer that it was worn on the waist wondering if people in my earlier research in chronic fatigue syndrome would actually have reduced activity. And these little sensors really pick up what everybody does every day. Now we have them in our iPhones, in our wristwatches.
Your phone knows how lazy you are.
Exactly. But it's a great technology. We also measured heart rate, so we now can measure heart rate through our iPhones, and technology has become so readily available. But it really helped us to determine where these deficits were in chronic fatigue syndrome. I've continued to use these body-worn sensors because then we can see what people do. So we started adding sensors to a wheelchair, on the hub of a wheelchair. So pushing a wheelchair, we wanted to know if someone pushes too far or too long or too many pushes, does that result in shoulder pain for wheelchair users? So I've adapted sort of this technology from waist-worn to wheelchair-worn. And then starting to look now at robotic interventions and things like that.
Takes the subjectivity out of it and puts the objectivity into it, and you can
learn.
Right,
and it's not obtrusive. So people forget they're wearing it, they forget that it's on the wheelchair, and yet we're measuring really important things that can relate to how we would want to introduce physical therapy interventions, let's say for shoulder preservation for wheelchair users.
What do you think of, now wearable tech is kind of, if I only bought stock in Fitbit six, 7 years ago, no student loans at that point. But where do you think it's going? Because we had a conversation before about, these things are everywhere and we have data. I mean, my mom and grandmother have data on how many steps, but where's it going to go? How are we going to be able to use that? Like every day, or, is there going to be something where we can use that every day?
Well, obviously Fitbit and those kinds of technologies are really easy to use every day, but we're starting to get much more information with like wearable robotics, exoskeletons, soft exoskeletons, where we're getting a lot more information. And the idea is that information is too complex for us to interpret or for patients to interpret. So it's sort of like creating this feedback loop so that it just automatically adjusts. And so the clinician doesn't necessarily have to think about those algorithms that are set up to do that. They just have to learn how to train the patient how to use the robotic. And that's really exciting for people that have mobility problems.
Yeah, getting the machine to actually learn for this specific patient, because that's who matters in front of you, right? I mean, the specific patient.
Right.
We talked a little bit about spinal cord injury patients patients with spinal cord injury. I should have been dinged on that. Thank you. Kyle was about to come three rows back and just tackle me. We talked very briefly before we started recording about a project you wanted to talk about where you would be able to connect patients with spinal cord injury in kind of more in a community. I wanted to know more about that.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, so my passion for the past 5 years has been trying to get a center here in Suffolk County, Long Island, for people with spinal cord injury or any mobility disorder. So we all know that our inpatient rehabilitation, acute rehabilitation is really shortened, between 20 and 30 days. And then, so that means that everybody who sees patients in the outpatient department get really acutely ill people, but then they're discharged early. So then we have all of these people who have no place to go when they go home to continue a life of fitness and wellness for the rest of their life. And there's no access. So I've been working really hard trying to raise funds to develop such a center, and I've developed a lot of connections around the island. There are sad stories about people who are home and have no place to go, no place to exercise, no place to stay well. So my vision is sort of having accessible equipment so people could come hook up with equipment and get going and starting to exercise for the rest of their lives.
Had a guy by the name of Yanni Corey. Do you know Yanni?
Good friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not planted. So are you trying to open one of Yanni's facilities?
His center and Stony Brook are partnering.
Jackpot. Yes. Okay, yeah. That's what I wanted to bring up before. I was like, I know a guy.
Yeah.
And you know a guy, and your guy's my guy. All right. Talk a little bit about that, because I definitely, this is a way I get cheap downloads. You got to go listen to Yanni's episode because he's awesome.
Yeah, Yanni is an amazing guy. He unfortunately had a spinal cord injury himself and decided, very, very bright Georgetown trained type guy, business mind. So he started out developing this fitness facility in Redondo Beach, California. At the time, I was involved in overseeing these community fitness and wellness facilities, so I knew Yanni quite well. And then I decided, well, we need place in Stony Brook, so Yanni, can we partner and start developing this similar kind of a center at Stony Brook? So, you know, it took us a while to develop a contract and all the business end of things, but
pumped. Quite well. Yeah. His goal is to have a center in every major U.S. city, which is like a big, hairy, we call it the BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal. And I think you should have one.
That would be Yanni's hell yeah.
That's Yanni's hell yeah. That's your hell yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the breakdown on Yanni was playing volleyball on the beach, dove in head first, hit a sandbar, spinal cord injury. But he wants to modify the medical model. He wants essentially a gym for patients with spinal cord injury to go to on a regular basis that can be lower cost, like a membership almost. And you'd have ex-phys people. You have a PT coming in every once in a while to make sure everything's cool. Really, like, what are you going to do when your PT runs out?
Right.
Now what?
And the beauty of this model is that in these centers, there could be a physical therapist also working in the center. So, for example, a gym might not be able to afford to pay for a physical therapist, but a lot of times these people who are trained, who train the individuals, can refer to the physical therapist in that facility. And similarly, once physical therapy ends for that individual, they refer back to the gym. So it's sort of this bi-directional super setup. Speaking about participation, I mean, that's the epitome of, you know, improving quality of life and removing social isolation and improving health and wellness.
Yeah. Next Step Fitness.
That's it.
It's Yanni's group. Look at it. It's just a cool model. And a lot of these things, and I think I don't need to explain this to students because I think they're really plastic in their thinking. A lot of times it would be like in the past, it doesn't exist, which means it can exist. And I like the fact that every generation now is like, it doesn't exist. Great, let's go make it. And I like how people, you know, like yourself are now thinking like that. Well, it doesn't exist. Why? Well, probably somebody started it and it didn't work. And there's more reasons to try it and maybe fail than definitely not do it or definitely not have that epiphany in the supermarket parking lot.
Right?
That's right.
That's right. Are you ready for shots?
What kind of shots?
Shots of wisdom. We're in a hospital.
Where are we?
A room of learned doctors.
This is The Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum.
Optum Manual Therapy offers a certification in orthopedic manual therapy and a manual therapy fellowship program.
Now with locations in Dallas,
San Antonio,
Houston,
Scottsdale,
and St. Louis.
If you want to be a certified orthopedic manual therapist or complete a fellowship in manual therapy,
visit them at optumfellowship.com.
So what would be your parting shot of wisdom for the other profession?
So I have a couple things.
All right. One, multiple shots. 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 Shots.
Multiple shots.
Lay it on us.
Lifelong learning. Never stop learning. Never stop asking. I'm still learning. I've been practicing for 35 years. So I just keep on asking questions. Keep learning. Your patients really recognize when you're inquisitive and you go forward with them with information that you know or maybe you don't know. Another shot would be make sure you stay involved in your professional association. Stay involved in the APTA because we really need to advance our profession all the time. And if you stand to benefit as a PT from the profession and everything they're doing, then you have the obligation really to stay involved, get involved, and do whatever small piece you're able to do within the APTA. And the final thing has to do with community fitness and wellness. In any place, wherever you end up working, try to develop some center, some place for people to go after they're discharged from outpatient therapy because they're lonely and isolated. And it's really not that hard to do.
Yeah, be their advocate. Make sure that they've got a place to go. Don't just discharge and be done.
Right.
I like it. Sue Ann Sister, everybody.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staff, and you can find out more information about how you can get a job anywhere in the U.S. doing the thing you want to do, which is this physical therapy thing, with Arias. AUREUSmedical.com. And one common misconception that I want to get out of the way right away, it doesn't cost you anything. Yeah, they're not trying to get money out of you and then find you a job. They're just sitting there with a bunch of jobs, and you're sitting there wanting to go to different places and travel around and be a PT. Match made in heaven. Aureus is the leader. They'll get it done for you. AUREUSmedical.com. Paid travel and housing benefits. Positions in all of the 50 states, a variety of different settings, plus Con Ed money too. That's a big question in travel physical therapy. Great way to see the country, and you can do it as a new grad, a seasoned professional, AUREUSmedical.com. That's Aureus. These guys have supported the show from the beginning, so we want to make sure you support them. And by the way, they're going to support you by getting you a job doing some PT. The PT Pinecast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest-growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools. From high-quality, American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now.
Our next guest is the chair of the PT program at Stony Brook University. And is a tenured associate professor. He is also the head coach of the United States National Amputee Soccer Team. Yeah, you can move. Married to his wife, Andrea, and has three kids, Jack, Max, and Lily. Let's hear it for Eric Lamberg on the PT Pinecast. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm awesome. We have something in common. Your favorite drink is my favorite drink.
Tito's and soda.
Tito's and soda.
With a lime.
With a lime. It's exactly how I like it. Same vodka, and here's why I like it. Because if I'm out at a PT conference and I want to keep hanging out, I can switch from Tito's and soda and lime to club soda lime, and no one knows. Because when you're at places like CSM, next 6 a.m. comes early.
So, Jimmy, I never thought of that. I just kept going to Tito's.
So you're a trooper, you're a professional, and I'm just a mere Padawan learner. So U.S. National Amputee Soccer Team. I mentioned this to my professor. I texted to her, and I said, hey, I get to interview like the coach, the PT. She goes, and she's a big soccer fan, lives in D.C., you know, kind of works with the United and stuff like that. And she didn't know you existed. She was thrilled. So I want to... No, it's a good problem to have, right? I mean, you exist. That's the hard part. That's the push the rock up the hill. But I'm so excited to talk because I didn't know it existed, and I want everybody else to know that too.
Well, we appreciate that, and that's one of our biggest struggles is that a lot of people don't know that this organization exists and is not just U.S. It is worldwide sport.
Yeah. So tell us about it. How'd you get involved with the team?
So I got involved because I think it was probably back in 2010. I went to Haiti, and I was doing a service mission down in Haiti, and I was working in a hospital in Lakai, looking out on the field, and I saw some guys out in the fields playing soccer, and I looked a little closer, and I said, oh my God, they're on crutches. What's going on? So I, being someone who was a soccer aficionado, I walked down there to see what was going on, and they were all individuals living with amputation and kicking the soccer ball around. And I said, wow, this is really, really cool. You know, is there a way that I can get involved? And so when I got back to the States, I started to do a Google search. Google finds everything for you.
Right? Does, yeah. Except for the answers to your homework. Because they've already Googled it, and that one's not on my test.
And then I found the U.S. National Amputee Soccer Association, American Amputee Soccer Association, and started working with them and put on a couple of clinics in the area for them, trying to get involved. I ended up joining the board of directors for the association, and then transitioned into the coach. So there was a time when the previous head coach was there, and he was no longer coaching the team, and the organization said, wow, we need a coach. And they said, all right, so Eric, you have soccer experience and coaching experience. I said, sure, I coach my kids. I played soccer.
Played FIFA for a couple hours. Absolutely. We're good.
I'm still not very good at FIFA. I can't figure out all those buttons. It's way too hard.
We'll get you a hand therapist.
I really need it. And then they said, well, you know, there's a nice mix because you sort of understand the amputee population. And that was great because I was able to come on in and understand the game, but also understand what the capabilities are. And I don't want to say limitations because it's just capabilities of these individuals are. It's not adaptive soccer. It's just soccer played a different way.
Study done on how hard a professional soccer player can kick a ball and how hard an amputee soccer player can kick a ball. The amputee soccer player was 1 mile an hour off.
Yeah, and it's getting faster. You know, when we talk about amputee soccer, the important thing to realize is that these individuals are not playing with their prosthetic. Everyone plays with just the crutches and their sound limb. There's no prosthetics involved in the game, and that's really to level the playing field. So someone who's a transtibial versus a transfemoral amputation, if they were to use a prosthetic device, it would really change that person's capability. So it takes the prosthetic out of the picture, and everyone sort of gets leveled on the playing field.
Wow, that is cool. What's the experience brought you? Because we talked about, you know, giving back and getting really more. I mean, that's where do you play? Is it just in the States, or do you get to travel internationally, I bet?
So we've traveled internationally. It is an amazing experience to see these guys, and the stories that I've had from some of the individuals who have played in the game have been tremendous. Every one of the players have their own unique journey that got them to soccer. A lot of them played soccer as younger children and then lost their limb for a variety of reasons. They might have had cancer, they might have been in trauma. It's been such an experience to see them grow because they've become part of something which they never thought they were going to be able to be part of again. And we've traveled in 2014, there was a World Cup. So there's an amputee soccer World Cup, and that was good. Down in Mexico. It was a really great experience because it was the first time that the U.S. had participated in the World Cup in quite some time. And we went into the tournament unranked, and we left there ranked 12th in the world.
Wow. So, yeah.
So that was really exciting. And that started getting everything going. Last year in 2016, we went down to Costa Rica. Played in a tournament in Costa Rica, and it was the first time that U.S. amputee soccer ever left the tournament place, and we came in third place, which was fantastic for us. Now we're just building. It looks like there's going to be a World Cup coming next year, potentially in Mexico again, and we're trying to get our team ready to get out there.
Anywhere near a beach in Mexico? Because I could podcast it or something with you. I'll come with you. I'll wear a jersey, whatever.
It would be excellent to come on down.
I'll do coverage, whatever you need.
Perfect.
What has it given you? What has working with a team given you specifically?
It helps with understanding and realizing the same thing that we see with our patients every day is that you don't realize what capabilities people have until they're actually put into that situation and they have to rise to it. A lot of these guys, and I'm saying guys because our team is all men at this point, but women can play on the same field as men, so it's a really nice sport because it allows for both genders to be there at the same time. But to see them come out there and find themselves and find their athletic ability that's inside of them and play with a sport that's sort of leveled for them. So instead of playing against able-bodied individuals, they're now playing against people who are all on the same level and they could step it up. And it's just amazing to see the human spirit continues to grow and can compete.
I like the one level out too. I'd like the next generation of players watching, saying, "Well, there's no, I can't. I'm watching someone do it, so obviously I can too."
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the issue is getting word out about the sport. Soccer in the United States as a whole, as we all know, is not the biggest watched sport.
It's getting a lot bigger though. It's getting a pretty big chunk of like Sports Center nowadays. You know what I mean? It's making the top 10 a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. It's growing, but it's still nothing compared to when you look at European soccer and you look at South American soccer. And just in October 10th, there was a European Amputee Football Federation final. So they did a tournament there and it was in Turkey. It was Turkey versus England. And there were 40,000 fans.
Yeah. That's awesome. Can you clap for that? Yeah. Thank you. That's great. Where can people find out more information?
Our website is ampsoccer.org, and you can also find it on Facebook, Amputee Soccer, U.S. National Amputee Soccer.
You know you're in New York when it's .org.
I was trying so hard to hide it.
So then A? I don't know how to spell it. Google says not found. What's it like being the chair of a department with faculty members like this? Got to be cool, right?
It was really great. I mean, the faculty is what makes a department. And the fact that faculty want to be here and want to teach the students makes it really easy. So it's fantastic. You just kind of watch and let them go. And we kind of make sure that everyone knows the goal is to get our students educated and want them to succeed and understand what it's like to be a physical therapist and to be someone who's engaged in the community. And that's part of the idea of becoming a physical therapist, not just having the knowledge, but being able to interact with everyone.
Yeah, I forget who said it before because we've been having so much fun, but you know, not one person doing one thing, people knocking on each other's doors and kind of saying, well, I don't know, I could help out, I can, you know, put my two cents in. And all of you kind of referenced each other while you were talking, which is one thing I noticed. That's why I wanted to bring up, how's it being a faculty? How are the students? They all right? Or...
Oh, they're great, wonderful. We love all the students. Come on!
So we do have a number of students who have not yet applied to PT school that listen to the show. What's different? Because, you know, every PT program needs to meet certain standards. You know, we'll just lay it out there for people who have not yet applied. But what makes Stony Brook different?
I believe that Stony Brook, first of all, we offer our program on two different locations. We have Stony Brook and Southampton. Woo! We know we would get that. So we're at the Stony Brook location. So it offers two distinct campus experiences, and at the same time, it still allows for those two campus locations to come together. So the students are going through their education separately, but it's the same curriculum, and then they also get to come together. So they sort of have this big network of students that they're with. And we really do look at trying to develop that healthcare practitioner, not just the physical therapist. I think that most people can learn the skills, but it's really how to interact and how to use that going forward.
All right, you ready for shots?
Shots it is.
All right.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum Manual Therapy.
Taking the orthopedic clinical specialty examination? To pass the OCS, it's important to understand clinical prediction rules, clinical practice guidelines, and recent research. Optum Manual Therapy has the premier OCS prep course that gets you from start to passing step by step.
Test out three free study guides right now at OptumFellowship.com.
Parting shot of wisdom. You can direct it to anybody. It could be students, could be fellow practitioners, fellow educators. What's your parting shot of wisdom?
This one's first for Jimmy. Don't use the club soda.
Well, now I'm busted. Now it's out there. People are going to call me out. Well, the thing is, you host a podcast that's based around having a beer, which is awesome. Everybody wants to buy you a beer, but eventually I've got to wake up the next day at a conference.
So seriously, we all are striving to be clinicians, and we know that working as a clinician is a very busy day. And when you're working as the clinician, you have to be able to keep yourself in the here and now. Make sure you're there. Make sure that your primary goal is that you're working towards getting those patient lives better. And everything that you're doing, it shouldn't be just to get through the day. It should be, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Because my ultimate goal is to help those patients.
I like that. Drop the mic, walk off stage. Go. That was actually the one thing the AV guy said. He was like, do not drop the mic. Do not drop the mic. But I like that. You know, I like your why is your who. You know what I mean? Your why of why.
Absolutely.
You're doing this. Let's hear it for your professors.
Want to say thanks to Fox Rehabilitation for bringing you the PT Pinecast. Fox Rehabilitation is a clinician-owned and operated professional practice of full-time physical, occupational, and speech therapists across 15 states with more than 950 clinicians. Combined, we have more than 200 years of clinically excellent leadership. Our mission? To rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people, empowering our people to facilitate and provide clinically excellent care to our clients, allowing them to achieve what they once thought impossible. Are you a fit for Fox? Find out at foxrehab.org.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.